For more than 7 years, a battle raged in Brooklyn over the government's right to use eminent domain to seize private property and sell it to a developer in order to build a basketball arena that nobody wanted for a team nobody roots for. This is the heart of the new documentary film, The Battle for Brooklyn, which recently opened to sold-out crowds in New York City, following its multiple wins for Best Documentary and Best Film at the Brooklyn Film Festival. The film's story centers on graphic designer Daniel Goldstein and his quixotic struggle to keep his home out of the hands of New Jersey Nets owner and real estate developer Bruce Ratner. When Ratner decided to move the Nets to Brooklyn, he promised a new basketball arena, affordable housing, Frank Gehry-designed architecture, and jobs, jobs, jobs. After the financial collapse of 2008, the project was scaled back to the point that all that was left was the arena and a parking lot. Reason TV sat down with filmmakers Michael Galinsky and Suki Hawley to discuss how they came to the project, eminent domain abuse, and political perceptions of the film.
This project, the Atlantic Yards Project, was announced with this huge article in the New York Times, which we read, and we thought, you know, this doesn't sound like the area that we know. A couple days later, we saw a poster saying, stop the project. So I called the number on the flyer. It was Patty Hagen, and she was the person who had started this, you know, this fight against this project. I started shooting the next day with her, and I followed her around for about 10 solid days as she led different reporters and different people around the site trying to explain what was really going on. We were not aware of eminent domain abuse as an issue at all. So we didn't come to this saying, like, let's find a project to highlight eminent domain abuse. As we got into it, we saw how it was playing out in all these different areas.
The film is filled with colorful scenes of pure outrage. Businesses being evicted after decades in the neighborhood. Elderly citizens being pushed from the only homes they've ever known. And payoffs to union and community activists.
Ratner signed a community benefits agreement with the city and with, I think, 8 community groups, 6 of which weren't even established groups before the Atlantic Yards Project was announced. And so they were supposedly negotiating benefits for this community, but it led to questions, who did they represent if they weren't an established group already? It came out later that they had been paid and were being paid by Forest City Ratner.
And even at this point, there aren't any jobs, and Build is the, you know, the group representing the jobs, but they're funded by the developer. So how are they gonna fight back? If they say, hey, you know, we need jobs, their funding comes from the developer, so they can't. Some of the writers have said, it kind of paints the government and the developer as, you know, in bed together. Well, they are. The story is so corrupt. It's so corrupt, it's really hard to imagine how corrupt it is when you know what's going on. This kind of process of top-down government is endemic in New York. It's epidemic. The whole Bloomberg model is back to the Moses model, which we all know created some benefits, but incredible impacts as well, that neighborhoods still have not recovered from.
We do Q&As at many screenings. We've been to festivals in Canada, and we showed a rough cut screening in Dallas, and everywhere we show it, there is someone in the audience who says, that's just like what's happening in Vancouver with the Olympics, or that's just like what happened with Texas Stadium, or, you know, someone will always relate it somehow to their lives when they see the film.
You can't build a community. You can build a series of buildings, but it takes a long time for community to form. And community has roots. And when you pull up a community by its roots, that community goes into root shock. The results of that are all kinds of negative consequences for America. I mean, the whole history of urban renewal is a nightmare, and yet liberal people still tend to think that's a good idea because we're building housing. But you can't look at benefits without looking at the consequences. Since the project has kind of pushed forward, it has really not created jobs. And even the big supporters of the project have come to us and said, you know, the movie is very fair. It had seemed to, you know, divide on ideological dividing lines when that really made no sense at all, because people who are conservative like the movie, people who are liberal like the movie, people who are in between like the movie, because, you know, our tagline now is that everybody hates kleptocracy. Everybody hates it when the government is working in conjunction with a favored partner to enrich both of them. It's un-American. But what to make of this is it's a movie. Much like Aaron Brockovich, it follows a character fighting an injustice.